Thank you. Good morning. I want to invite you to Osage and invite you just to, no matter what your circumstances have been in the process of getting here this morning, whether you had an argument in the car or no matter what is grasping for your attention, we ask you to join us in fighting against that and leaving that behind and turning your eyes toward the Lord and joining us in worship. And I think you'll be amazed at how he can affect each and every circumstance in our lives as we do that. So let's start our worship time together. Stand with me if you would. Oh, worn and weary land where many a dream has died. Like a tree by the water, we never will run dry. Living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Oh, 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 oh. Into your word we're digging deep to know our Father's heart. Into the world we're reaching out to show them who you are. Living water flowing through, God, we thirst for more of you. Fill our hearts and flood our souls with one desire. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine light, run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. Just to know you and to make you know, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. We know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive. Oh, 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 we were made to thrive. We were made to thrive.
Amen. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
I got quite a few announcements here this morning. First thing, deacons meeting today at 4:30. This evening service, we will have our business meeting. Next Sunday is the Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. 23rd and the 24th, we'll be going to the Evangelism Conference down in Geyer Springs First Baptist Church. We will leave at 9 a.m. January 23rd, and we'll return the evening of the 24th. If you would like to go or want more information, get with Brother Lanny about that, and he can help you. And then the 29th will be the fifth Sunday dinner during the evening service.
That's it.
All right, will y'all pray with me? God, thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Thank you for just everything we have in this life. God, I pray you allow us to always realize the blessings we have. God, thank you for giving us this day. I pray you be with our lesson today, or what we're about to hear, God, and just speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. If you're able, let's stand together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's side. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. In the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus, your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power. Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in. Oh, His love for me. Oh, His love for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free. Free at last, He has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me, whom the Son set free. Oh, my Father's house. There's a place for me. I'm a child of God. Yes, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me.
Worship in your life, 'cause your glory is so beautiful. Yes, your glory is so beautiful. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, you are good. 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 But the blood of Jesus, what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white. But the blood of Jesus. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, you are good. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Jesus, you are good. Glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus, you are good.
Sing that once more.
Glory, glory, hallelujah, Jesus, you are good.
Okay, once more, once more.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy foes prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us, thine we are. We are thine to thy befriend us, be the guardian of our way. Keep thy flock from sin, defend. Hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and sinful though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us.
We're glad you're in the Lord's house with us today. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there's a visitor's card there in the pew in front of you. We'd like for you to fill that out, that we might have a record of your visit. We have some young men that are going to come and receive our morning offering, and one of our men will come and lead us in prayer.
Lord, thank you for giving us this day to come worship you. Please bless all that have come here. Please bless this offering and help it to go further than it normally would. Please bless the remainder of our service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Already announced that tonight's going to be a business meeting, and we'd like for you to come be a part of that. We're going to have beans and fried potatoes and cornbread. Say it again. You're not? Everybody thought you was. No, okay. The beans will be provided. Don't cook beans, but we need fried potatoes and cornbread and whatever might go with that, desserts. And so we hope you'll come and be a part of that, just a good country supper we'll have together, and a good time in celebrating what the Lord is doing in our church and among our committees, and as we look forward to the year that is before us and we make decisions about that, camp and Awana and all those things that are going to take place. And if you are in charge of children's church, we're going to give you an opportunity to take charge of your group right now. Take your Bibles and turn to me. Turn to me. Turn with me to Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans, the 10th chapter. And let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word, and what a privilege it is for you to be able to hold that word in your hand. So many places in the world that would not be possible, who are hungry for the word of God. And you and I live in the Bible Belt. We can turn the TV on or the radio on, hear preaching, hear the word of God proclamated in so many different ways. We live in a society that is forever turning against God, but we're also very blessed to be living in the center of the Ozarks here in the, someone said, the buckle of the Bible Belt, and we're very thankful for that. And you have a Bible that you can turn to at any time, and it is your guide for living and what is right. It is the truth of God from cover to cover. It has never lost anything. What fit in society 2,000 years ago fits us today if it's in the Bible. It is what the truth is. God has not made any mistakes, and He's never said, oh, yeah, they'll grow out of that. Well, that's not true for the Bible. It fits every situation, and it fits you. If you continue to read it, you're going to discover that it's going to begin to read you and me as we read it and discover God's Word. Verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, and this is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, this is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You may be seated. Now, we have come through these 10 chapters of the book of Romans, and we've discovered that no matter who you are, and no matter what your background is, that everyone is saved exactly the same way. Their experience may be different, but there's only one way to be saved, and that way is Jesus Christ. And so here, as the penman to the church at Rome, he talks about the need for his countrymen to come to know Christ as his Savior. Early on, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but early on, he said, if it be possible, he was so desperate for the Jews to be saved, he said, I'd go to hell if they could be saved. And so we see that desperateness in Paul's life to see other people come to Christ. And so I think that is the main objective of this 10th chapter, is that you and I come to that place in our own lives that we have this desperate desire in our lives to see others come to know Christ as their Savior. So I want us to see, first of all, Israel had religion, but they were not saved. And I think that becomes true of many, many churches in the day in which you and I live. They have religion, and individuals have religion, and they're faithful to come to church and go through the ceremonies that the church goes through, but they are not saved. It's going to be a rude awakening for the rapture to take place. And those folks who had shown up in church every Sunday morning are left behind because they did not know Him as their personal Savior. They had gone through the ritual, but they did that without coming to know Christ personally. They're ignorant of God's righteousness, the Bible says. Verse 1, Paul's desire for his Israelite countrymen is the same desire that you and I should have for our lost countrymen. Turn back to chapter 9 and verse 1. And here he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, for my countrymen, according to the flesh, that Israel might be saved. Weiss translates the passage this way, brethren, the consuming desire of my heart and supplication to God on behalf of them is that with a view to their salvation, that everything that we do is to be in view of salvation of those who are lost. I think that we need to teach the stories of the Bible in Sunday school, the different events of the Bible and what the Bible teaches. But the objective of that is that people might be saved. When we have vacation Bible school, we need to make it fun for the children. We hadn't had it in a long time, have we? Well, we've traded camp off for that. And camp's more fun, by the way. Everything that we do, all the planning, the teachers that prepare the lessons, those that prepare the crafts, those that prepare the refreshments and the entertainment that goes along with that, all the planning for months prior to us having camp, all of it should be with the objective that young people get saved, that kids get saved, that they trust Christ as their Savior, that there is a moving of the Holy Spirit in hearts in such a way that boys and girls and men and women cannot resist the pull of God in their lives and in their heart to become a Christian. It'd be very tragic for you to sit in the pews of Osage Baptist Church all of your life and die and spend eternity in a devil's hell. What a tragedy that would be. And so we want to make sure that salvation is the object of everything that you and I do as Christians. Here in verse 2, Paul says, I bear them record. Paul was once where they were. And you and I were once where the lost were. Maybe you're still there. But we were once where the lost were. And so we ought to be able to share the gospel with them in that understanding that here I was. I did not know Christ. And so they don't know. They don't know the stories of the Bible. They don't know the language of the church. And I've been in it so long that I know that I use some churchy language sometimes that I don't even mean to. That I wish I knew how to switch that up where people would understand. What does it need to be? What does it mean to be saved? To be saved from what? I remember saying to one of my uncles once, he said, "I want you to baptize me." And I said, "Well, you have to be saved first." He said, "Saved? I've been saved hundreds of times." He said, "I was saved in a from being killed in a foxhole in Germany." He said, "I've been saved a lot." I said, "No, you're not understanding. You must give your heart to Jesus. You must accept Him as your Savior to be saved." Sometimes we use that language and people do not understand what we're talking about. We're talking about the difference between heaven and hell. That you're saved from the wrath of God. That you're saved from hell, and you're headed to heaven when you accept Him as your Savior. He said they had a zeal of God. Better translated, zeal for God. In other words, zeal with God as the object. He said they had that zeal, but they didn't have the knowledge. And the word knowledge that he uses here in the original is experiential knowledge. It's a knowledge that we have experienced it ourselves. We know what they're talking about because we have experienced it ourselves. There is a great difference between someone telling you how you should believe and you experiencing that in your own heart. I know a little bit about worship, but because I've been a Christian a long time. I've been in services where you knew the Spirit was present and the Lord had come down. And there was that about you that you felt like that the Spirit was so strong that you could cut it with a knife, someone said, because the Spirit of God had come down and visited us. And I've longed for that to be in the lives of other people, for them to experience it, for my brothers, for my sisters, for other people in the church to be able to experience that, to know the realness of it. Paul said they had a zeal for God. They was coming to church, they was participating in the prayers, they were putting money in the offering plate. They were coming every time the door was open, perhaps. And they had the zeal toward God as the object, but they didn't have the knowledge. They hadn't experienced God in their person to feel Him move, to have Him speak to their hearts, and know that it was the Lord. Why were they lost? They were trying to establish their own righteousness. You know, we're just hard-headed enough that we don't want anyone to tell us how we ought to be or how we ought to live. Some were saying, as some say today, I've got to go higher on the ladder, higher and higher, like runs on a ladder, to get better and better, and then I'll be saved. Verse 6 says, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Some were saying, I've got to dig deeper, got to go deeper, study more. They just got deeper enough. We can bring up the way of God. Verse 7. What does the word say in verse 8? The way of salvation is as close as your mouth. I had a friend in Tuckerman whose his name was Philip Moorhead. He was a truck driver. And I'd witnessed to him a lot. I'd been in his home, talked to him and his wife, and shared salvation with him. I even went on a trip once with him in the truck, and I didn't do that twice. But talked to him about Jesus all that time. And Philip came down with cancer, and he's in the hospital in Little Rock, and I went to see him. And he was at death's door, and I knew he was lost. And I said, Philip, you sure do need to be saved. You need to ask Jesus into your heart as Savior. He said, well, this is how I feel about it. He said, I've done the man wrong all of my life. And now that I'm dying, I think it'd be wrong for me to ask anything of him. See, he made up his own mind. He made up his own religion about how to be saved. And I explained it in every way. I pleaded with him in every possible way that I could. And as far as I know, he died and went to hell because he never made a decision to accept Christ as his Savior. It's the way of salvation for every man, rich or poor, affluent or destitute. With the mouth open publicly, unashamed, confession is made unto salvation. Verses 10 and verse 11 says, there is a way and there is no other way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by me. Paul says that they were failing to submit to the righteousness of God. Look back up at verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, now look at it, and going about to establish their own righteousness. Is that you? Is that me? I hope it's not. Going about to establish my own righteousness, I'll decide how I'm going to be saved. I'll decide what is right. I'll make the decision without listening to the Bible. I'll decide if I'm a good enough guy to go to heaven. I'll decide that if I don't, if I love my family and I'm good to my wife and I'm good to my kids, that that'll be good enough in order to get me to heaven. If my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds, if I'm not a murderer or I'm not a rapist or something else, if I don't involve myself with drugs or alcohol, or if I don't do this or I don't do that, well, then that will make me good enough to go to heaven. Well, my friend, that's not the truth. It's not what the Bible teaches. That's folks that are going about to establish their own righteousness. Now, I'm for that. I'm for men living their lives and women living their lives that way. I'm for that. But Jesus Christ and his death on the cross and his righteousness is the only way that you and I can be saved. with the mouth open, publicly, unashamed, confession is made unto salvation. They fail to submit to the righteousness of God. So what is the righteousness of God that we must submit to in order to be saved? The Bible tells us to seek the righteousness of God first. In Matthew 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his, what's that next word? Righteousness. John came in this way. Oh, this is a great little story. Back in Matthew, the 21st chapter, I want you to look at that. Matthew 21, and look down at verse 30. What is it? Verse 32. 21 and verse 32. For John came unto you in the way of, do you see that? There's our word, righteousness. And you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterwards, that you might believe him. So, whatever it is, it can be found by tax collectors and prostitutes here, the Bible says. So how does it come about? In Romans, the first chapter and verse 17, the Bible says it's revealed from faith to faith that the Lord has given you enough faith to be saved. He has everybody. He's given everybody enough faith to be saved. What you and I must do is just trust in his word and then follow his word. And he says it's like this. When the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and you obey it, you obey what he says to do, whatever that is. Whatever it is, you obey what he says to do. Then the Bible says he gives you more faith, and you take that next step. And it's from faith to faith. So he's given every person here enough faith in order to be saved, to call on his name and trust him as your Savior. I visited a man in the hospital. He's way up in his 90s. I was preaching revival over in the edge of Oklahoma, and the pastor said, I want us to go visit this guy. His son's a preacher. Everybody's talked to him. He's lost. He's getting ready to die. We just want to go by and see him. And I shared the gospel with him. I can't remember what his name was, and I said, the Bible says that if you'll believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we'll just call him John. I said, John, doesn't that sound simple to you? All you have to do is just call on the name of Jesus in order to be saved. He said, yeah, it sounds simple. I said, would you be willing to let me lead you in what we call the sinner's prayer and help you pray that prayer to ask Jesus to come into your heart as Savior? He said, I'd really like to do that. And so we prayed, and he asked Jesus into his heart. Sometimes I think we make it so complicated that people can't get hold of it. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Whoever, can you get that? I think I got it. Whoever would call on the name of the Lord would be saved. Young, old, middle-aged,
out in the playground, down on the creek, on a stump somewhere, driving down the road, whoever would call on the name of the Lord and ask Jesus into their heart, they would be saved. But it's not playing religion. It's not coming to church. I want you to come every time the door's open. I don't know if you've figured that out yet or not. But I want you to come every time the door's open. But it will not save your soul. It's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Personal, personal, personal. Jesus, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ in the preacher, the hope of glory. Not Christ in my mama, the hope of glory. But Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whosoever, the prostitute, the drunk, the dope addict, the little boy that's been in Sunday school all of his life, the mother who can make the best apple pie ever made, the daddy who's faithful to get up and go to work every morning and make a living for his family, whoever would call on the name of the Lord would be saved. It's revealed from faith to faith. So you take the first step of faith by trusting Christ as your Savior. Romans 3:22, the righteousness of God by faith, and it is Jesus Christ. It is Jesus. So that righteousness of God is Jesus Christ in me. So it is imputed righteousness. His righteousness is for the remission of my sin, according to Romans 3:25. I want to hit a couple more verses. Romans, turn back a little bit to Romans 4 and verse 2. For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not from God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 4 and verse 5. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. The righteousness that saves my soul is in Jesus Christ. It is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. Look at verse 30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, here's a word again, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and look at verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. That's Jesus. He made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the, there's our word again, righteousness of God in him. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. This is how I want us to do this today. I'm going to stay up here in the front. And if you want to come and talk to me, you just stay behind. If you want to be saved, you stay behind. If you want to join the church, you stay behind. If you want to talk to me about baptism, you stay behind. If somebody's talking to me, you just have a seat, and we'll get to it in a little bit. Ben Bowling, you go to the microphone and dismiss us with a word of prayer. Let's stand together as we're dismissed.
Let us pray. Oh, Lord God in heaven, we appreciate so much you being here and bringing us this message, and hope that it's moved some hearts and moved some minds to their soul to you. We pray for all the sick and the needy. We pray for everybody that don't know you. Pray for those that are just running up and down the road on dope and all that kind of stuff. Hope they'll straighten up and meet you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.